Welcome to Senior Matters with New England Senior Advisors and our host, Helen Haynes. Helen, nice to have you back with us.
Nice to be here, Bruce. Thank you. Welcome to Senior Matters. We're the show where we bring you valuable resources, expert advice, and insightful conversations to help seniors and their families navigate the journey of aging. I'm your host, Helen Haynes, an independent, certified senior advisor with 10 years' experience guiding families through the complexity of aging in place or transitioning to senior living. My goal is to connect you with the best local resources, empowering you to make informed decisions for yourself or your loved ones. Today, I am thrilled to welcome Jimmy Connell. Jimmy is the executive director of Age Friendly Rhode Island, a leader in making our communities more inclusive and supportive for older adults. Jimmy, welcome.
Thank you, Helen. Such a pleasure to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what Age Friendly Rhode Island does?
Of course. So Age Friendly Rhode Island is the local offspring of the World Health Organization Age Friendly Movement. And if we go back to 1991, we're in the UN and there's a discussion about our aging population. To give us statistics, by 2034, there will be more of us 65 plus than there will outnumber those 18 years or younger.
Wow.
So this is the kind of the discussion that was being had by the UN in 1991, and the age-friendly movement was born. By 2010, the World Global Network of Age-Friendly Cities and Communities was established. And by 2016, Dr. Mary Ann Raimondo, director of the healthcare administration programs at Rhode Island College, established this local chapter of Age Friendly. While we are very fortunate to be at a college and take advantage of all that academia has to offer, it's important to point out that we are privately funded. We are not taxpayer funded. We received our support from Point 32 Health, which is Harvard Health and Pilgrim Health merged. And so we are a coalition of nearly 50 partners devoted to healthy aging in our state.
It's great. That is great and so important with so many people aging at the same time. So what does it mean for a community to actually be age friendly? And how do you achieve that?
Well, the technical definition, you would say, is communities that promote the health, both mental and physical, of older adults, participation in community, security, and overall well-being. Officially, our work is wrapped around domains or general categories of well-being, and they're the usual suspects, housing, transportation, communication, social isolation. The gist of it, or the end of the day, it's about intentional planning for an aging population. And are we looking at our needs, our gaps, our challenges? What's great about aging in our community, and developing an intentional plan according to the result? It's so important in age friendly work to survey, have community conversations, listen to folks about what is working, what isn't working. Are we prepared as a community, a state, a country? Massachusetts is a stellar example. They have a statewide intentional plan for aging that is the model. And currently, kudos to Representative Carson, who represents our area up at Smith Hill. She is working with an aging commission and our legislature to establish Rhode Island's intentional plan for aging.
So important and so complex, and I think it might give us a little more clarity if you can share some of the specific initiatives that you have worked on or are currently working on, and that I think would help our listeners understand how they benefit.
Sure, of course. Well, our work is two-pronged. One is in community work, and I can give a great local example. So we support communities that want to become age-friendly. And there is an official program, a roadmap to reach age friendliness, which was created by AARP. It's called their Livable Communities. And I refer to it always as a roadmap, a guide. So a community such as Newport that wants to pursue age-friendly initiatives would connect with AARP, which Newport did, and then begin a really arduous process in Newport's case, 3 years long, which was called Newport for All Ages. The result was a 109-page plan, which outlined initiatives, resolutions, programs, projects. At the end of the day, if all that they hope to be implemented is, Newport would be, you know, officially age-friendly. The ribbon has been cut. The city has officially been declared age-friendly. And most importantly, there was the political will. The council embraced the plan and actually, you know, passed it in resolution form. Kudos to our council, particularly Vice Chair Lynn Segley, who was very involved in the Newport for All Ages plan.
That's amazing. So the ribbon was cut here. And I think if so, an example that I see is I live close to the Edward King House, and they have that AARP park there that I go in sometimes, and it's like the outdoor elliptical and easy fitness things I can do on my walk. Is that like a small part of what you do, or was that included in that?
Yes, and kudos. I can't thank, you know, folks enough that were so involved in this initiative. Thank you for reminding me. Edward King House and their fearless leader, Carmela Gear, was instrumental in, you know, both the planning, 3 years long, talk about discipline and determination. And also, you know, her work continues. She's up at Smith Hill advocating, you know, for older Rhode Islanders. She's, you know, running her incredibly busy Edward King Center every day. But specifically to your point, that fit lot was funded by AARP in, you know, in collaboration with Edward King. And last year, they supplied a grant so that our parks department could actually train folks on how to use it.
That's amazing. And so you talk about, it's almost like, and it is a public-private partnership working, that you actually have results after cutting a ribbon 3 years ago. And I recently had the pleasure of seeing a state legislative panel discussion, which you were a part of, for deeper planning and having the right resources for this rapidly aging Rhode Island community. And so you mentioned a collaboration with AARP. And there are other organizations. You have a lot of resources. I looked at your website. There's a lot of resources out there. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. And then we'll take a quick pause so you can let people know how to get a hold of your organization.
Of course. So that's a, you know, great segue to the two-pronged aspect of what we do. So one is the in-community work, the age-friendly initiatives. We're working with about five communities. On a macro level, we connect the dots, we collaborate, and we connect with nearly 50 organizations statewide in order to achieve either a pilot, introduce a program. We are not programmatic per se. So what we do is we work with existing organizations to amplify what they do or introduce a program and then do the marketing and sales equivalent of sell and pass. Great example is working with Leadership Rhode Island. They've been training leaders in our state since 1981. And it was our wish to establish a civic academy of sorts, which we call Senior Fellows, where during an 8-week-long session, we would train folks 62-plus to go back into their communities and advocate for their fellow 62-plus. We introduced it last year. We counted on leadership, rather, to develop it because, again, they've been developing leaders since 1981. And so we developed the curriculum with them. We brought in the subject matter experts. We participated during the 8 weeks. And we graduated 30 senior fellows last year, 30 more this year. And, of course, you know, our long-range goal is 300 senior fellows in community in 10 years to make a big difference in our state.
That is incredible. So you're training, if you will, my term, foot soldiers, to go out and really be branches of the good work that you do. And you and I had a conversation in the past, and transportation, as everyone knows, I meet families and help them age in place at home, a part of what I do. And the number one thing I hear is transportation. How do I get to doctor's appointments? I'm uncomfortable Ubering. Can you help? And I have helped families with that, but I know that that's, you've done some amazing things in that realm. Could you share that? I think it was in conjunction with the Edward King House or locally with transportation.
I would be so happy to. So we received a very small grant from the FTA to look at transportation in Rhode Island, a planning grant. And what we did was, as we should always do, start with community conversations. We canvass the state and ask folks what's great about transportation in Rhode Island, what's missing, what could you use. And after all the conversations, we landed in Newport, and we landed here with the idea that we would partner with a nonprofit that had a van to provide on-demand transportation, no matter where folks wanted to go. A van or a pilot that would pass what we call the ice cream cone test. If the rider wants to go get an ice cream cone, we will take them to get an ice cream cone. But as always, it required a lot of cooperation. You know, Newport housing was amazing. Dunavan Manor was extraordinary because there was a lot of trust building. We were counting on folks that hadn't been out of their apartments since COVID to trust us that we would transport them safely to wherever they wanted to go. So we were, you know, so grateful to Newport Housing and Edward King, and most particularly looking upwards, because once again, we went to an organization that had capacity. They've been helping folks with disabilities since 1981, and they provided the van. Their philosophy was no van should sit empty in the parking lot. And so they provided the van, and within a few weeks, we were transporting roughly 250 folks all over Aquidneck Island and serving five communities. And now we've doubled. It's two vans serving hundreds upon hundreds north to Portsmouth and east to Little Compton.
Yeah, and so you mentioned looking upward. Are they managing this transportation program? This was kind of, if I'm getting this right, you were a conduit to get different people to speak to get this program off the ground. And so how is Looking Upward involved?
Well, thank you for asking, because they certainly deserve, our undying gratitude for their willingness. That's always so important. They had the will to be involved. And so we did provide the initial funding, the guidance. Frankly, full disclaimer, I knew nothing about transportation when I received the grant. So we
You do now.
Amen. Amen. So we brought in RIPTA as a guiding force, and they were instrumental in the success of this too. But we were recognized by the grantor, FTA as a sort of a beacon on the hill for what these partnerships can achieve. And right now I'm in discussions with Health Equity Zone in western part of the state about bringing the program to them. Once, obviously you're successful, then folks want to know more about it. But initially, this was met with a lot of skepticism. Communities were concerned about liability and sharing. And I always find it ironic. We're the smallest state, but sometimes you really have to tear down those silos. People kind of work in their own sort of sphere.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest success was bringing everybody together. And then the biggest aspect of the program that was successful was making our driver the mobility manager. So when you call for your ride, the driver's taking the call. He's tracking you. He's bringing you. He's picking you up. There's little room for failure in terms of forgetting you at a doctor's office or failure to transport you back safely to your to your community.
That is a great story. So there's a lot of successes, but there's so many issues to address right now with aging. What are some of the bigger challenges you're seeing, and what's going on there?
Well, a few things. Lack of intentional planning, which I have to say, I see great improvement in this arena. And also, the biggest obstacle is ageism, because ageism tells us that folks 62 to 102 are homogeneous. They're one block of people. And our societal narrative is that they are, it's all about the physical decay, the age as pathology, and that all those folks are the same. And, we all have images of folks in congregate settings and, helpless and not well. And so we, those of us inside of getting older, we have a personal narrative that tells us, quite differently, that spirit never dies, and that until the end of one's life, there's growth and spiritual growth and opportunity. And so this is really important, because if we don't value that group as individuals with individual needs, we're not going to intentionally plan for our older adults. And we need to meet them where they're at. It could be if they're in a congregate setting and they do have mobility challenges or cognitive challenges. Well, let's make sure that's the best congregate, setting that a person could ever hope to live in. Or it might be that someone's now retired and they never gave thought to all those added years of living. What is my focus? What is my purpose? And that's where employers can come in. Let's talk to our employers about age-blind hiring. You've got this amazing workforce of talented people with maturity of purpose and great executive functioning skills. And there is ageism in hiring. So I think we really need to take a long, hard look at this group of 62 to 102, realize that, you know, they are all different, the needs are different, and that it's so important to plan. And, you know, it's so interesting. Sometimes when a community is doing a budget, you know, at City Hall, they're talking about, well, you know, let's talk about education and investment. And then typically when you're talking about older adults, you'll frequently hear the word, you know, hear the word burden. And that brings me to how important ageist language is. When it comes to aging, language matters. So that's a real obstacle, because when you say the seniors, you are perpetuating that notion that that group from 62 to 102 is all the same. Their needs are all the same. There's only one need, essentially, to address. And so, you know, seniors is fine in context, like senior center, senior program, senior agenda coalition, but the seniors just perpetuates that negative societal narrative of decline and decay. There's research out there. It's all over the place, which basically shows that the words equal perceptions of confidence. And the preferred is older adult, typically. Are there, you know, other descriptors? I know in our indigenous populations, elders is still, you know, used quite heavily. But in general, older adult is the preferred term. And I would challenge folks to look at internalized ageism, because if we don't feel like we're old, even if we're 65 like me and carrying a Medicare card, we're not going to intentionally plan because we're not there, right? I'm floored by the number of people I encounter, and I know you encounter this in your great work, people who have given no thought to what they would do with that 30 years of added living. I have my, 401k in place, and I have my long-term care insurance, but no thought to what would their purpose be. You know, they've been working day and night for years. They are what they do. And then suddenly you flick a switch and you are no longer what you do. And so, you know, back to my point, in 1900, 47 years was longevity. By 2000, it was 77 years. So here we have this longevity revolution of 30 added years. And these are the folks we need to plan for, too. So we need to realize, you know, that 70, 75-year-old might still want to work, or they are, you know, looking to travel, or, you know, so we need to provide opportunities across the board, be it work or leisure or, opportunities for volunteering for folks across that spectrum.
I so agree. I have so much to unpack there. That would be another, that's a book and a whole series of shows, but I can share with you firsthand. I've seen ageism at work, and it really strips people of meaning, because there's meaning at every age, no matter where you are from 62 and 102. And I think a part of it is just our culture in general, which is getting better. There's a lot of embrace your age movement going on out there, but it's this beauty standard that's unattainable even for the beautiful. And how do you keep up with it? And so it's so important that you bring that up. And then the other thing with preparedness, I have seen, you just don't think you're getting quote unquote old. I'm in my 60s. I feel great. But because of the nature of the work I'm in, I'm starting to prepare. I'm not nearly prepared enough, but, you know, what if you live another 40 years? So there's always something you can do to look at that. But really, finding meaning is just so important. And so I'm going to pause for a minute. So how do people get a hold of Age-Friendly Rhode Island?
Well, the first thing I would say is, if you want to know more about us, our website is agefriendlyri.org. I would be remiss in not sharing our phone number, because that would allow folks that don't have access to the digital world, they can actually call me at 401-486-3659. And I would be happy to refer them to an aging-related agency where they could volunteer. I'd be happy to refer them to any number of entities involved in aging well in Newport. One is the Village Common, this great new movement in town that's, I think, going to make a huge difference in providing supports for folks to stay at home. They could talk to me about enrolling in our Senior Fellows Program and so much more.
That is all valuable information. Thank you so much, James, Jimmy, for joining us today and sharing your insights about the work at Age Friendly Rhode Island. You guys are doing so much to make this community a better place, and the fact that you're bringing people together to do it is just incredible. So once again, if you could mention that phone number, that would be amazing, because a lot of listeners prefer to use the phone.
Of course, it's 401-486-3659. And my email is quite easy to remember. It's jconnell, like the highway, C-O-N-N-E-L-L, at rick.rhodeislandcollege.edu.
Thank you, Jimmy Connell from Age Friendly Rhode Island, for being with us today. I'm here, listeners, as a senior advisor to help older adults and their families navigate the challenges of aging, whether it's aging in place at home or transitioning to a senior living community. If you'd like to learn more about my services or like to meet, you can call me or text me directly on my cell phone at 603-930-3193 or email me at helen@newenglandsenioradvisors.com. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Helen Hames. You've been listening to another edition of Senior Matters.